Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we are observing All Saints Day. Now that can be a very confusing thing. There are many in the world that are thinking, what are you talking about, All Saints? And then right away, maybe they think about what other church bodies are doing on the topic of saints. I want to try to sort this out a little bit today. And the reason for doing it as well, when we think about people we know who have died in Christ, when they die in Christ, we can struggle with them dying, but I'm hoping I can give you some instruction that will be comforting to you as you think about your loved ones who have left this world in Christ. Well, thinking about All Saints Day, first of all, I think you know this already, but understand, I care about what the Bible says. I don't really care what people say. So there are a lot of things people are saying about saints that does not connect with the Bible, and I encourage you just to forget about all of that. Let's go with what the Bible says on the topic. Now, does the Bible say a lot about saints? Actually, if you would count up the word saints found in the Bible, if you're looking in the New American Standard Version, you will find 67 references to saints. So it's a pretty common word in the Bible. Well, saints, according to the Bible, what are they? They are people who are alive now on earth, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. That comes right out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. What does that mean to be faithful in Christ Jesus? That means that they are trusting in Jesus as their Savior. That's who we're talking about. People living on earth right now, they are saints. Can you get the idea now how, oh, that means maybe I'm a saint. Are we trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior? I would hope so. By the grace of God, we are. Trusting in Him, we have all these benefits. So what is it that we desire to do from the inside out as He lived and died for us? Now we desire to live for Him. It's a natural result of being a saint, God having made us saints. I want to take a look at some questions on the topic here. So, what people can rightly be referred to as saints according to the Bible? Well, first of all, people who were believing in Jesus when they died. They are saints. Now they are with God as saints. And who else can be referred to as saints? Those of us, like you and me, who right now are living here on earth, and yet we are believing in Jesus. That's how the Bible speaks about saints. How does a person become a saint? Well, we can't make ourselves saints. God has to take action and do it, and God the Father, He's working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, so He does that work through holy baptism in order to clothe us in Christ. He does that work right through the Bible to convict us of our sins and to give us that gift of faith by which we are trusting in Jesus. Those are things the Bible is clearly teaching. What else can we say about saints? Well, we know how a person becomes a saint. How does a person continue to be a saint? A concern is, how many did God make saints who now are no longer saints? Isn't that like the saddest thing? To be righteous in the sight of God in Christ, and then later on as life goes on, oh, now you're not righteous any longer in Christ. That would be such a sad thing, wouldn't it? To have like had everything and now you've lost it. What happens in some cases? Some people end up losing it, walking away from it, and they don't even know it. The devil is at work to deceive. That is one of his primary roles, is to deceive. Would the devil love it if everyone in the world thought they were saints when in fact none of them were saints? Boy, the devil would have everyone exactly where he wanted them. How can people have their eyes opened? How can they be set free? They have to get back into the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will open their eyes to the truth. The Holy Spirit will show them their lost condition, and the Holy Spirit will again give them the gift of faith by which they are trusting in Jesus. We've got to be in the Word of God. How do we continue as a saint? Well, we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is our spiritual food. So we are in it. We are thinking about it. We are believing it. We are trying to apply it in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is at work then through the Word of God to keep us in Christ. We understand that if we push aside all physical food for 2 or 3 months, we are no longer going to be physically alive. If we're going to push away our spiritual food and we're not going, okay, I'm not going to go to church anymore, I'm not going to read the Bible anymore, what are we doing? In a way, we're committing spiritual suicide. We are saying, I don't want what I need to be nourished spiritually. We are pushing away Jesus. We never, ever want to do that ourselves, and we should be very sad if we know of others who have done that. And then a very important one here, not so much for us in the Lutheran Church, but there are many people who are practicing this very thing. The question is, do saints in heaven hear and answer our prayers? The answer is a very clear no. But yet, let's understand, millions and millions of people around the world are crying out in prayer to saints in heaven. So it's something that people are doing a lot of, and yet, according to God's word, that is not going to work. Two very simple reasons here. Number one, the Bible is so clear that Jesus Christ, he is the one mediator between God and people. So in other words, how can I get my prayer to God? I have to go through Jesus to get to God. If I'm rejecting Jesus, then I have no way to get to God. It's only through our relationship with Jesus that now our prayers can get to God. It's only through our relationship with Jesus that one day we can be with God forever. Jesus is the one mediator between God and men. So right there, that one alone, that cuts off any person praying to a saint. What else, though, can we think about here just in a practical way? When we think about somebody hearing and answering a prayer, let's understand that is a God thing. That's not a people thing. Like, are you guys during the week, are you praying to me? If you're praying to me, I'm here to tell you, I have not heard those prayers. Now, maybe in some cases, I would have some ability, if I actually heard them, to be able to answer you. Maybe I could call you and say, oh, I know you're worried about this. Take a look at this part of the Bible. So maybe I could give you an answer like that. But I'll tell you, though, I'm not even hearing your prayers. If we think that somehow we have a loved one, even if our loved one died in Christ. Now, if our loved one dies in Christ, that person is a saint. That person is with God. But how is it that that person could ever hear the prayer I'm praying? How could that person ever answer the prayer? Let's understand, there is no indicator at all in the Bible that these things happen. Let's always keep focused on Jesus. Let's know that through him, we have a direct link to God our Father in heaven, and he hears us and he will answer us according to what is best. Let us be certain. Well, for the rest of the sermon, I want to focus on the Apostles' Creed. It's all based on the Word of God, and it can give us great comfort thinking about the Creed as we think about our loved ones who have died in Christ, even as we think about ourselves being in Christ. First of all, going to the first article here, what is a saint? Well, we could say a saint is a person made by God the Father. What do I mean? I invite you to confess the first article with me now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, we have a very short article there. But let's understand, though, what the Bible is teaching. It is God the Father who designed everything, but then God the Father, he worked through the Son of God to create all things. What does that mean? Well, he created the heavens and the earth, all the things that are on the earth, the animals, the people, and so on. That means he created you, he created me, he created our loved ones, and so on. Well, when we think about saints, saints are people who are with us now, who are believing in Jesus, and who died believing in Jesus and now are with God. So there are saints in heaven and saints on earth. Let's go to the second article. The second article is always the biggest, focusing on Jesus, the biggest here in the Apostles' Creed, also the biggest in the Nicene Creed. I invite you to confess the second article with me now. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, it's pretty straightforward, it would seem, but I want to just go down through it real quick and give you some additional details here. And especially in a couple places, you might be surprised as to what I'm going to say. First of all, who is Jesus? Well, we know he is the very Son of God. So he was sent by God the Father at the appointed time, or we could say at the fullness of time. And then when he came down to earth, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So that's when the Son of God actually put on human flesh, and he did it for you and me. He did it in order to be our Savior. What did Jesus do? Well, of course, he lived without sin. What does God say to you and me? He says, "You be holy because I am holy." None of us can do it. So the Son of God, he comes and he does it for us. What an amazing thing. So he lives the perfect life. And then when Pilate was the Roman governor, that is when Jesus was arrested. That is when he was put on trial 5 different times illegally. That is when an innocent man was condemned to be crucified, and then they actually nailed him to a cross. Thinking about Jesus being on the cross, try to think about earth being down here and heaven is above, and here he is suspended between earth and heaven. Now, what happened when he was on that cross? That is when God the Father took the sins of the entire world, including yours and mine, and according to Isaiah 53, he crushed his Son with our sins. And then he further crushed him when he poured out his wrath upon his Son for our sins. We deserve that wrath. But yet he poured it out on his Son because he had our sins and he took our wrath. He took the wrath we deserve. And when that was all done, what did Jesus do? He laid down his life. No one took it away from him. When his work was done, he laid down his life. What happened when he died? Well, let's understand that immediately his soul and spirit went to paradise. His physical body was put in a tomb. What happened on Easter Sunday? Now, this is an important order to pick up on here. What happened on Easter Sunday? Well, first of all, God the Father raised the body of Jesus to life. As soon as he raised his body to life, he put him back together, body, soul, and spirit. What happened then immediately? That is when Jesus descended into hell. He could not descend until he was back together, body, soul, and spirit. He descended into hell. He proclaimed his victory over sin and death. And as soon as he did that, now he's back on earth. Now he's showing various people that he is alive, that he is the winner over sin and death, and even over Satan and hell. And then what happened 40 days later? Well, Jesus ascended into heaven. What is he doing now? He is ruling over all things, and he is ruling for the good of the church. In other words, for the good of the saints, for the good of you and me. Sometimes we can't understand what's going on in the world, but we don't have to worry. We can know that Jesus Christ, like it says in Revelation 1, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Let's rejoice. Hey, our own Savior, he is in charge. So he's going to take care of us. He's going to work everything out. He's going to carry us through until finally we are with him forever. We can live with peace. We can live with joy. And then what is yet to happen? We're not quite at the end yet. What is yet to happen? Well, at the appointed time, so the very day when Jesus will return, that day has already been appointed. So at the appointed time, Jesus will return, and then every single person who has ever lived will be put back together, body, soul, and spirit. Now, for those who died believing in Jesus, they're going to be raised to life eternal. It's going to be amazing. For those who died without Jesus, they will be raised, but they won't be raised to life. We could say they will be raised to exist. And then they're going to, well, for those who died in Christ, they're going to enter eternal bliss. For those who died without Christ, they're going to enter, well, let's be honest, they're going to enter eternal torment. Does God want that for anyone? By no means. For every single person, Christ has made the way. Nobody has been left out. But what did Jesus say there in Matthew 25? The Bible says, "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That is why God made that terrible place for the devil and his angels, not for people. Through Jesus, he has made the way for all people. But for everyone who rejects the one way, then they automatically defer over to be with the devil and his angels. That is why Jesus, I mean, he should just be our all in all. He has to be our everything, because without him, we are going on to eternal torment. With him, we are going on to eternal bliss. I mean, he is everything. May God help us to see that, to believe that. And then may that reality, may that just influence like how we're thinking and how we're speaking and how we're proceeding in this life that we have now. And let's always keep in mind, this life is so short in comparison to eternity that is coming. Well, when we know Jesus, let us live with peace and joy. And when we think about our loved ones who have died in Christ, let's not be sad. Let us believe right now they are in paradise. Let us realize that the separation between us and them, that is a temporary separation, not forever and ever. And let us look forward to seeing them again and being with them for an amazing eternity, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, the third article, what is a saint? Well, a person made holy by God, the Holy Spirit. Let's confess the third article together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So those words, they all apply to people who know Jesus. Let's think about what they mean a little bit more. Well, it's telling us that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing? He is assuring us that in Christ we are forgiven. He is guiding us in our lives through the Holy Bible, and he is empowering us to be able to live according to the Bible. Very important things the Holy Spirit is doing. Those who are in Christ, they are members of what we might call the Holy Christian Church. Now, when we say that, we're talking about everyone who is in Christ on earth and everyone who died in Christ and that was with God. We are all together in one holy Christian church. All such people, we have received the forgiveness of our sins. For those who are in paradise, that cannot be changed. They are forgiven and with God forever. Now, for us, being in Christ now, we are forgiven. Would we ever want to step out of that? Would we ever say, well, I don't care about being forgiven. I'll just step over here and now I'm not forgiven. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? Let's rejoice that we are forgiven. And if we know somebody that maybe has maybe not stepped away, but what happens? Oh, how does it work? Oftentimes they drift away. It's like inch by inch by inch, and they don't even recognize it. If we know anybody like that, let's love them. Let's try to help them understand where they are in comparison to what the Bible says, and let's kindly call them to repent. Let's call them to get back into the Bible. Let's call them to come to church with us and to hear the word of God. And upon being truly repentant, let us invite them to come and receive the supper and receive even greater assurance that in Christ we are forgiven. Without repentance, people should not be coming to receive the supper, but let repentance be worked by the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of all of us, and then let us come rejoicing in what Jesus has done and having great assurance that because of who he is, because of what he has done, because of our God-given faith in him, we are forgiven. So important. Also, too, what else can we say there about the third article? Well, for all who have died and for all who are alive, there is going to be a great transformation when Jesus returns. All who have died, they're going to be raised. All who are alive, they're going to be transformed in an instant from being mortal to immortal, from being perishable to imperishable. The Bible tells us that so clearly at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then for those who are in Christ, in body, soul, and spirit, they are forever going to enjoy the blessings of our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God help us, guide us, move us to take advantage of the opportunities to express our love for other people and to just help them that they might be in Christ and they might be with us forever. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, help us to understand and rejoice that we are saints in your sight through Jesus even now. And then, as we remember our loved ones who have died in Christ, help us to know that is true and give us peace as we think about such people. Finally, as we think about others who do not seem to currently know Jesus, help us to have this burden upon us that we would so much be thinking about them, concerned about them, and guide us, move us to share your life-changing word with them. And then may the Holy Spirit powerfully work through that word to bring them back into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.